ಬುದ್ಧ ಮಹಾವೀರ ಯೇಶು ಸಾಯಿ.
ಬುದ್ಧ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬುದ್ಧ. ಲಿಟ್ರಲಿ ಬುದ್ಧ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಎನ್ಲೈಟನ್ ವನ್. ಆಸ್ ಮೋಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅಸ್ ನೋ, ದ ವಿದ್ಯಾಗಿರಿ ಹಿಲ್ ಇನ್ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತ್ ನಿಲಯಂ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಯು ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬುದ್ಧ ವಿಚ್ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಾಲ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ 1993. ಪ್ರಯರ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ದೇರ್ ವರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಯೂಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅದರ್ ಗಾಡ್ಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ರಾಮ, ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಜೀಸಸ್, ಶಿವ ಅಂಡ್ ಸೋ ಆನ್. ಆನ್ ದ ಒಕೇಶನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಅನ್ವೀಲಿಂಗ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಯು ಇನ್ ದಿ ಹಿಲ್ ವ್ಯೂ ಸ್ಟೇಡಿಯಂ ಇನ್ 1993, ಎ ಜಾಪನೀಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಆಸ್ ಭಗವಾನ್, ಸ್ವಾಮಿ, ದಿಸ್ ಬುದ್ಧ ಇನ್ ಪುಟಪರ್ತಿ ಇಸ್ ಅಮಾಂಗ್ ದ ಬೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಇಸ್ಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೋ? Swami simply smiled and said, Buddha is my gift. And this devotee kept repeating Bhagwan's words in his mind, and only later it dawned on him that Bhagwan meant not only the statue of Buddha in Puttaparthi, which is very beautiful and which is his gift, but what Bhagwan was referring to is Buddha. Buddha's birth and life itself were his gift to humanity. Isn't that a profound statement? The Lord always speaks in riddles, and it is for us to ruminate on it, and then we would derive such profound meanings inherent in them. Baba says, Buddha is not a personal name. A Buddha is one who is spiritually enlightened, who is mentally awakened, and who has realized the supreme truth. He is one who practices unity of thought, word and action. His heart is ever full of compassion and love. He is unaffected by the vicissitudes of life. That is what is Buddha. Moving on, the second word is Mahavira, referring to the founder of Jainism. Maha means great, Vira means the brave one. Baba explains that he was called so because he was able to control all his senses and become a Jinna. That is a term that Jains use to mean the one who is a victor. He was the master of his senses. Yeshu refers to Lord Jesus Christ. Ye means one and Su means good. Yeshu therefore means there is only one good, indicating the one God who is goodness, who is omnipresent, who is omnipotent and who is omniscient. And the last word is Sai. One literal meaning of Sai is master. So in this line, Buddha, Mahavira, Yeshu, Sai, we hail the universal Lord through different names: Buddha, Mahavira, Yeshu, Sai and so on. Let's move on to the second line.
Vahe Guru, Vahe Guru Bol Manva.
Vahe Guru is a phrase used by Sikhs to adore God. Vahe means wonderful, and the word Guru generally means teacher or preceptor. On one occasion, Bhagwan explained that the word Guru can be split into Gu and Ru. Gu stands for Gunatita, that is one who is beyond attributes, beyond the qualities like Rajas, Sattva, Tamas, the different propensities that make each man different from the other. So a Guru is actually beyond all these characteristics. Ru means Rupavarchita, that is one who has no form, no specific form. He is one who transcends a particular form. He can assume any form. And who is the one who is formless and who is attributeless? Only the Infinite Lord. And that is why Bhagwan always says, only God is your true Guru, and this Guru is in fact present very much inside you, in your heart. On one occasion, Bhagwan explained that the phrase Vaheguru means there is only one Guru, and that Guru is God. The next word in this line is Bol, which means say or chant. Manava means O man. So in this line, Vaheguru, Vaheguru, Bol Manava, it exhorts all of us to chant the name of the formless and attributeless Lord who resides as the preceptor within each one of us. Let's move on to the next line.
Allah Yeshu Sat Guru Sai.
Here Allah refers to the formless God whom people of the Islamic faith adore and worship. The third word is Sadguru, which can be split into Sat and Guru. Sat means true and Guru means preceptor. Then who is this Guru? Who can be this Guru except the only eternal, omnipresent and omnipotent truth of the world, Sadguru Sai. The Sadguru who has many names. You call him Allah, you call him Yeshu, you call him Satya Sai. That is what is conveyed in this line. Allah, Yeshu, Sadguru Sai. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Gita, Ved, Quran, Ho Sai.
Gita means song. It refers to the Bhagavad Gita, imparted by Lord Krishna to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. While there are as many interpretations of the Gita as there are scholars of ancient Indian wisdom in this world, Bhagwan once made it so simple by asking the students, tell me, what is the last word in the Bhagavad Gita? And the boy said, Bhuvaniti Matir Mama. Mama is the last word. Then Swami asked, what is the first word? Dharma Kshetri, Kurukshetri. So the first word is Dharma. Swami said, now combine both these words, Mama and Dharma. And Swami said, there lies the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Dharma, doing one's duty. That is the loud and clear message of the Bhagavad Gita. The second word is Veda, which refers to most ancient of world scriptures. Literally, Veda means knowledge. The third word is Quran, the secret text of followers of the Islamic faith. While Moses performed supernatural feats to startle the magicians of Egypt, known for their egoistic tricks, and Jesus healed the sick and raised the dead to shock his contemporaries who were skillful physicians, Prophet Muhammad's astounding miracle was the Quran. The Arabs in those days were celebrated for their eloquence and excellent poetry, but what the unlettered Muhammad offered was matchless, and it overwhelmed the Arabs' literary prowess and creativity. Let alone the profound message, the sheer majesty of its style, which is neither prose nor verse, and its captivating rhetoric clearly reflected that it was not the work of a human. In fact, in the Quran itself, it is mentioned that nothing is like it. And the holy book challenges anybody who doubts its divine origin to produce anything similar. In fact, it would be interesting to know that this masterpiece of composition on which stands the whole religion of Islam is also a superhuman mathematical feat. The number 19, which is not divisible by anything except itself and one, is the common denominator of the entire composition of Quran. Not only does the Quran have 114 surahs or chapters, which is a multiple of 19, but also the total number of occurrences of the word Allah in this classic is 2698, which is 19 into 142. Even the total sum of verse numbers for all the verses containing the word Allah is 118123. Again, a multiple of 19. Like this, the list goes on. You will find it is indeed a gift of God for humanity. And the last phrase is Ho Sai, which means Sai is. So in this line, Gita, Ved, Quran, Ho Sai, we hail Lord Sai as the essence of all scriptures such as Bhagavad Gita, Veda and the Quran. Let's move on to the fifth line.
तन में साई मन में साई.
तन means body and मन means mind. And the phrase में साई means साई is in. तन में साई means साई reverberates in every inch of the body. मन में साई means साई is felt in every bit of the mind. So when we sing this line, let us pray to Lord Sai to bless us so that we feel Him in every cell of our body and in every thought that originates in our mind. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Rom, Rom, me, Sai, Sai.
means hair. Rom Rom Me Sai Sai means the name of Sai resounds in every hair of the body. What comes to mind here is the great devotee of Bhagwan. Bhagwan often says that I am still looking for a devotee, one who lives up to the title of a devotee. But there was one occasion when Bhagwan actually certified someone as his great devotee. There were tears in the Lord's eyes when he heard of the loss of this devotee. And when he went to see her in her final moments, in deep sorrow and very crestfallen, Bhagwan told the people nearby, "We have lost a great devotee. We will not get a devotee of this nature again anywhere." Bhagwan was in deep anguish, as if a part of him had become lifeless. That is how much Bhagwan loved this devotee. And mind you, she was not even a human being. Yes, I am talking about Sai Geeta, Bhagwan's pet elephant. She came to Bhagwan as a little elephant calf, but once Bhagwan adopted her and started caring for her, she literally became his child, and her devotion to the Lord only kept growing over the years, and she became so focused on Bhagwan that after a while there was nothing like her will and Bhagwan's will. It was just only one consciousness. There is an amazing incident that in a manner brings out the stellar devotion of this great devotee. Sai Geeta's residence was opposite the boys' hostel in Prashantanilayam. It used to be called the Sai Geeta shed. It had high vaulted walls, plenty of trees, a huge water tub and so on. During one occasion, Bhagwan was in Vrindavan. In his physical absence, the students would have compulsory sports in the evenings. It was during that time when Sai Geeta also would come to the stadium for her evening walks. The students would normally go and say Sai Ram to her, and she would lovingly respond by raising her trunk. On one such evening when the students were playing and she was also busy taking her stroll, suddenly came the news that Bhagwan was coming. It was absolutely unexpected. No one knew how far Bhagwan was from Puttaparthi. But before everyone realized, Bhagwan's car entered the stadium from the higher secondary school gate, and Sai Geeta, who was on the other end at the crossing of the primary school building, which is in front of the present Chaitanya Jyoti Museum, as soon as she spotted Bhagwan's car, she gave out a loud trumpet and she was euphoric. It was tough for her caretaker to control or stop her. She just started running towards the car, and what followed next made everyone stand still and watch with wonder. There was Bhagwan's car coming up from the stadium, and the mighty Sai Geeta was running, almost rolling, galloping from the opposite direction towards Bhagwan's car. And the next instant, Bhagwan's car stops and Bhagwan rushes out from the car, and now Bhagwan is running from one side, Sai Geeta from the other side. And when they meet, what a sight it is. Sai Geeta's expressions were uncontrollable. She literally hugged Bhagwan. Her trunk was all over Bhagwan. Bhagwan was actually standing in between her front two legs and her trunk. It took almost 10 to 15 minutes for Bhagwan to pacify her. And slowly the students too came close to the scene, and they heard that Bhagwan was constantly saying something to her, and he was patting her very lovingly. Bhagwan also fed her some fruits, and then they saw that her saliva was there all over Bhagwan's robe, but Swami was least concerned. In fact, it needed a lot of persuasion from Bhagwan to extricate himself from Sai Geeta's hold. And whoever watched this episode, they knew what is love for the Lord. Bhagwan once told the students, "Do you know why I have kept Sai Geeta in front of your hostel? So that you can learn what true devotion is. If you can get even an iota of her love for me, your life would be sanctified." Well, if we can feel for the Lord in every cell of our being, if we can pine for Him every single second of our life, and if nothing else interests us in this world except His form and His proximity, then there would no longer exist my mind and the Lord's mind. It will all become one awareness. Then each one of us becomes just like Sai Geeta, perfect sync with Swami. every cell and every hair of our body then would surely echo with the name Sai, and every thought that originates in the mind would always start with Sai. So this is something that is conveyed in this line, Rom Rom Me Sai Sai. Let's move on to the last line.
Vahe Guru Vahe Guru Bol Manva.
This is a repeat of an earlier line of this bhajan. And with this, dear listeners, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan.